In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Here at First String Sports on Sierra in between Bullard and Herndon Avenue. Come on down here to First String Sports and check them out. Open from 10 to 4 today. I always do my show in the Letterman's Jacket Room. This is, I love doing my show in this because, look up there and see all the different schools represented. I see Buchanan, Kingsburg, who we're going to talk a lot about today. Had a big win yesterday. San Joaquin Memorial, Liberty. Behind me, I got Fresno Christian, Sierra. So, yeah, come on down here to First String Sports. They have been an incredible sponsor since day one. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or follow 1430 ESPN at 1430 ESPN. Again, if you miss any shows, past shows on the Central Valley Sports Report or the Jose Gonzalez Show or Home Field Advantage with Gabe Camarillo or a Bulldog Hour with Tony D, you could go back on the 1430 ESPN website, go under podcasts, and you could download any show or listen to any show that you missed. So what's going on today's show? Well, we had an incredible week two of high school football. So we're going to be breaking that down throughout the show. After the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe is the host of Home Field Advantage and does an incredible job covering high school sports. So Gabe and I are going to be chatting about some games that he saw last night. I think he was able to make it to three different games. So talking with Gabe about some games. We have a special guest at the end of that segment, too, coming up after the break. At the bottom of hour number one, Mitch Stevens. He's a longtime Max Preps editor, was a prep editor at San Francisco Chronicle, and now a senior editor for SB Live. He's going to be joining me. I have a great conversation with him. I know we will because he knows high school sports up and down the state like nobody else. And they're really ramping up their coverage of the Central section. So looking forward to that conversation. In hour number two, at the top of 11 o'clock, we'll be talking with a couple Lemoore High School football coach, Rich Tooman, and a kid named Preston Scott, who had one of the greatest days in Central section history in week one. Well, what did the kid do? Well, he returned three punts for touchdowns. That's a Central section record, and that ties the state record. Then he returned a kickoff for a touchdown and received a touchdown as well. So incredible game from that kid. Looking forward to hearing from him. The bottom of hour number two will be joined by Clovis East head coach Brandon Nagel, whose Timberwolves beat Atwater last night, 52-21, to move to 2-0 in the season. So yeah, so those guys, Clovis East Timberwolves, they're putting up a lot of points through the first 2 weeks. So looking forward to talking to Brandon. All right, during this time, I like to scroll through the scores. I mean, called the Central Valley Sports Report. So I like to report the score. So I'm going to go on down and hitting a few of the scores. Last night, 1430 ESPN, me and Jose Gonzalez, we broadcasted the great Central and San Joaquin Memorial football game at Collegian Stadium. And that, you know, that was the ranked number two and number three in our 1430 ESPN rankings. Had all the makings in week two of being a classic game and with major playoff implications. And, I'd actually put a poll up there of who was going to win that game. I think it was 67 or 66%. We're favoring Central, and why not, right? They were ranked number two. They've been to five straight D1 Central Section Championship games at San Joaquin Memorial. They beat them 23-21 and had a big safety in that game. It was basically the difference maker. Brandon Ramirez, an absolute super stud, two-way player. Coach Anthony Gostin said that he's the best two-way player in the Central section. Tough to argue that. He broke up a pass play on fourth and four. That was the last play of the game. If they complete that, they probably get the ball around the 10-yard line, 7-8-yard line maybe. And, we're looking good to win that game. But Brandon Ramirez made a great play, and he also scored two touchdowns, one through the air, one through the ground. So, yeah, San Joaquin Memorial, man. They'll probably be ranked number two behind Liberty. All right, so let's go over some scores. So on Thursday night, Clovis North beat Redwood came back 17-16. McLean beat Mendota 20-14. And Reedley beat Roosevelt in Dwayne Wright's debut as Roosevelt's head coach 26-16. Bullard was all over Tulare Western 53-7. Centennial of Bakersfield beat Aurora Grande 39-7. Central Valley Christian 44, Mount Whitney 0. The Cavaliers ranked top 10 in the Central section. They got a team down there, and they got a Division I player. They got a running back that's going to be eligible in a couple weeks, so that team is going to be dangerous in whatever division. They'll probably end up in Division II. But they got a really good team down there in Visalia. Chowchilla beat Fresno 13-12. Clovis comes back after getting beat by Long Beach Poly at home. They beat Sanger 14-7. It was 7. I think it was 7-0, and Clovis scored the final two touchdowns in that game. So congrats to Aaron Wilkins on getting that first win for Clovis High. Kalinga beat Templeton 39-15. Delano beat West 37-7, and Dinuba came back on Golden West. They were down 6-3. They came back and won 19-6. Exeter beat Woodlake 7-6. Fowler beat Fireball 42-6. Frontier beat Bakersfield in a game that we had eyes on 27-24. Now, follow that game on Twitter. That game didn't end until midnight. Come on. Midnight? A high school football game? Man, by the time those kids get home and fall asleep, you know, maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock, I mean, that's too long. And the administrators and the people that have to clean the stadium and everyone has to stay late, oh, man, what a long game, especially if you're Bakersfield and you lose that game. So good job by Frontier on getting that victory. Kerman is now 2-0 after being Torres 28-21. And then Kingsburg, the Vikings, went into Sunnyside and beat Sunnyside 49-9. Okay, a lot of storylines behind that. Kingsburg's defense just absolutely came to play. Their offense is humming along. I have the stats for that game. A couple things really popped out to me. Sunnyside was up 3-0 in the first quarter. Then Kingsburg scored 28 in the second, 21 in the third, and running clock in the fourth for a 49-9 win. Ethan Winslow, the quarterback, threw for 3 touchdowns, only had to throw 14 passes in the game. And Trace Jackson, running back, ran for 111 yards and 3 touchdowns. So that was a big statement game for Kingsburg. They are, you know, like CVC, a medium to small size school, ranked in the top 10 in the Central section. They're a Division III team based, so they won't go up to Division I. Can they play with the Division I teams? I don't know. Maybe. But they sure showed out against Sunnyside. Yeah, so Coach Dave Wilson's team really, really made a statement that game. And then Lemoore beat Washington Union 56-35. That game was pretty close. I think it was 42-35 late in the game. So we'll be talking with Coach Tooman at the top of hour number 2 about that game. Mission Oak beat Emmanuel 35-10. I'm going to go back a little bit. Madera beat Selma 40-35. Let's see here. We mentioned Sam McKim Memorial Central. That was a really fun game to watch. Sierra Pacific beat Hoover 32-13. And St. Joseph's beat Bakersfield Christian 38-7. Really good win for St. Joseph. Strathmore beat Hanford West 46-20. And in intersectional games, Buchanan beat Escalon 41-40 in overtime. A couple storylines about that. Well, a lot of people are like, well, who the heck is Escalon? Well, it's a team in the Sac Joaquin section. I read an article from James Burns from Front Row Preps, and he said Escalon's a Division V team up there, so about 3 times as less students as Buchanan. Buchanan escapes with the win. Clovis East, we mentioned, 52-21 over Atwater, and Clovis West, man, those guys, how about humming along? Golden Eagles, they are just a scoring machine right now. They beat Turlock 48-0, so they've outscored opponents 90-0 on the year so far through 2 games. Garces of Bakersfield beat Paraclete 41-7, and then Hanford 66-21. Those guys can score too. Coach Cannon Sanchez, we did the game last week against Bullard, and man, that's, what is that, 100, and see how quick my math is, 107 points in 2 games for the Bullpups. One more game to mention, is Somerville beat Dos Palos 34-28. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo. We'll be breaking down this games a little bit more. He was at a few of those, and we might have a special guest for the last 5 minutes or so. And so stay tuned on the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. And I always feel like I run out of time when I'm talking about all those scores. And, yeah, it's always fun to break down these games. Gabe Camarillo. Gabe, are you there right now?
Yes, I'm on the line, fresh out of a Fresno State football press conference. The very first one of the season, and very good things to hear from Coach Stafford and Dick Hayner.
Oh, yeah, Gabe, you absolutely get after it. You are here, there, and everywhere. I know you write for Barkboard. You're interning for ABC and the sportscaster, and do incredible work for 1430 ESPN, and obviously your show as well. So let's talk a little bit about some of the games that you went to. Obviously, we did the San Joaquin Memorial and Central game, and I think you were there for that final play that I described of Brandon Ramirez breaking it up. The fourth and four play. But, yeah, what are some standout things that you saw last night in high school football?
Just the intensity of that game. I mean, there was so much emotion. It felt like a playoff game last night at Collegiate Stadium, and both teams treated it as such. So, Brandon Ramirez, first of all, that was a fantastic play. But I also have to remember back to the second half when he had two touchdowns, one receiving, one rushing. And he was able to get it done on both sides of the football. Hey, he's just as good of a candidate as anyone for best two-way athlete in the Central Valley. I mean, you could put Jaden Moore up there. He had a sack last night and also caught a touchdown. But Jaden Moore also didn't play Central last night, right? Ben Ramirez did his stuff against Central, one of the most well-respected football programs in the Central Valley. Two touchdowns, that big pass deflection. We also can't forget the play before that pass deflection, which sealed the 23-21 victory. Ben Ramirez had a big hit, which forced a fourth and four for the Grizzlies. So he came up so many times. I'm really, really impressed with what I saw from Brandon Ramirez. But also much love to Carson Dean. Their quarterback, he did what he had to do to win the game. He did not make any mistakes. He made throw after throw. Carson Dean looked like a pro out there. Very impressed with Carson Dean, Brandon Ramirez. And heck, I got to give love to all the SJM Panthers. I looked dumb for not picking them to win yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. I think my evil twin, Mabe, picked Central to win because SJM looks strong. Hey, they beat them whistle to whistle. They deserve to win last night.
Well, there's a lot of storylines to that game. You think about last year, Central beat them in the playoffs on San Joaquin Memorial's home field. I think it was 37-20, if I'm remembering right. And then going into, Central's home turf, and, I think that was a good pick, man. I think most people picked Central to win that game. But, yeah, even number 47 for San Joaquin Memorial, linebacker, he had some big plays as well. But for Brandon Ramirez, when you are the best player on your team, I think there's little argument, and you need to stand out. You need to make plays in big games like that, and he absolutely did. I know you went to another big game, right? Did you go to Washington Union and Lamar? I know we've talked a lot about Lamar in this last week. We're going to have the coach and Preston Scott on the show coming up in hour number two. Were we able to check out that game for a little bit?
Yes, I did, and I can tell you confidently, Lamar is legit. They're a legit team. They're a force to be reckoned with in Division II. They're a base D3 team. But, Paul, I think this team's going to play in the D2 playoffs. They're that good. Because Washington Union was also a good team. And Washington Union was missing their sophomore quarterback, Trey Morris. It's Trey Morris and Marquise Glynn that kind of split snaps there. So it was all Glynn last night. And Washington Union still put up a lot of points. They put up 35 for them. Only problem was Lamar put up a whole lot more. Ty Chambers had a fantastic game. I think 5 touchdowns total. You also got to give a shout-out to your student-athlete of the week, Preston Scott. Dude, how did he return a kickoff or a touchdown again? You would think, right, after returning 4 of them last week, teams would learn to kick away from Preston Scott. But he returned another one for 85 yards last night, and it was a big part of that victory. Lamar can put up points of plenty. That defense, you can talk to Coach Tuman about it. Maybe there's some things to tighten up on defense if they're going to want to win a D2 championship. But they got the offense in place. They got the special teams in place to not just make noise in the D2 playoffs. And I know we're talking about playoffs. We're talking about playoffs, Paul, in August? Yes, we are. I think Lamar is that good. They have a chance at winning it all in D2 if they can tighten up some things on defense and continue their excellence on offense.
Well, yeah, and again, if we're looking forward to it, we do that a lot, man. We talk about – we preview games that are going to be played in October because that's just kind of what we do. And, hey, I'm already looking forward to Hanford and Lamar in the final week of the season, of the regular season on October 28th. That's a league matchup. Oh, man, that's going to be a hot game. I could see both teams going in undefeated to that game. That's going to be a really exciting week. Anything else Gabe, that caught your eye last night? You know, we talked about Central and San Joaquin Memorial, but man, that Kingsburg, were you able to hear some of the stats that I threw out? Kingsburg just absolutely rolled Sunnyside. So I think we can erase the doubts about how really good Kingsburg is. And then out of Sunnyside, they were on the bubble to break the top 15.
Yeah, Kingsburg, I think, is a top 10 team in the Central section, and they affirmed that last night by beating down Sunnyside at Sunnyside Stadium. Listen, it's a good learning lesson for the Sunnyside Wildcats. They're young, you know, sophomore Tanner Wilson, sophomores CJ Jones and Malachi Barnes. They'll all learn from this loss. But this is Kingsburg's moment. They have a fantastic senior class led by running back, linebacker, Trace Jackson. And Ethan Winslow did great as a quarterback. I just, from what I've heard, and I know you got some texts throughout the night talking about how good Winslow looked. Watching D2, I'm just looking forward to the D2 playoffs in general, Paul. There's so many good teams from Division 2 and Division 3 that showed out last night. And I did want to also mention a Division 1 team you haven't asked me yet, but Clovis East and Clovis West.
Oh, yeah.
Two teams that definitely proved themselves to be some of the most high prolific offenses in our Central section.
Oh, absolutely. Good job by you, Gabe. And, yeah, points aplenty last night. We had a lot of scores in the 50s. You mentioned East and West. Yeah, those guys are putting up points, man. That's a lot of fun. Gabe, appreciate you as always. And check it out. I got a big guy next to me, a little special guest, Eric Lamb from Hanford. What a guy, huh? I mean, this guy, 6'2", 315 pounds, part of a really good Hanford squad. So I'm going to be talking with him in a second. Thanks, Gabe. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Paul, and congrats, Eric. Eric, you guys did well against Buhawk Colony last night. I saw some of the highlights. You guys really pushed them around in the line of scrimmage. Good job.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Gabe. All right.
All right.
Big Eric, so after a game last night, and are you sore? Like, does it take you a while to recuperate?
A little bit sometimes, you know, when I wake up in the morning, it's kind of hard, but, you know.
Do you get yourself a big breakfast like this morning? Did you eat breakfast? You get really hungry after games, or you just wake up?
I don't really eat breakfast in the mornings.
All right. How about after games? Do you grub out a little bit?
Yeah.
What are your favorite places to go after games, or maybe even like during the day?
An away game after an away game, we go to Cane's because it's like the only thing open. And then after home games, everyone goes to In-N-Out.
I know. It looks like In-N-Out Burgers all over the Central Valley on Fridays. The lines always, you know, to the parking lot. I drive. So on the way back from the Central game, I was driving down Shaw, and the one at Shaw 99, that line through In-N-Out is huge. All right, so let's talk about the two wins that you guys had. Let's go back to Bullard because that's where we saw you.
Yeah.
I did the broadcast with former Fresno State coach Pat Hill. Probably familiar with Coach Hill. Coach Hill was pumping you up. So Coach Hill, he likes to watch linemen because he's a big lineman guy. He coached linemen in the NFL with Coach Belichick. So he knows all about linemen. He was impressed with you. So let's go back to Bullard. You know, what was your game plan against Bullard? Like, put pressure on the quarterback, you know, and, you know, try to flush him out because he's a young guy, a sophomore. Yeah. But what was the game plan against Bullard defensively?
I mean, going into that game, we knew that we were going to have to put a stop on the run game. That was one of our problems last year when we took the loss to Redwood, was stopping the run. So we knew going in, like, our coach was really on it about getting to the young quarterback, you know, hitting him a couple times, beating him up a little bit, and then just stopping the run game. And I think we did a really good job of that. And we went into the game with high energy. You know, at halftime I was yelling at the guys, like, hey, let's keep it up. Like, if we let off, they're going to – come back on us. Like, let's just keep our foot on the gas all night. And I think we did a very good job at that.
No, you did. I think it was maybe a one touchdown game at half, right?
Yeah.
And then you guys played a really solid second half. But yeah, just watching you two, your lateral movement is great, and you get down the line, like, you played a lot of nose guard, right? And then you moved to end. Then you moved to end. But yeah, what's your mentality as let's just say a nose guard? Are you supposed to plug the hole first, and then maybe let your linebackers come in and make plays, or what's your main part of playing nose guard?
Just stay A to A, make them bounce it out to, you know, we have outside containment, so let those guys come up and, you know, get big plays, makes hits. So I just want to plug the middle, make them bounce it out to our outside linebackers. We have pretty good outside linebackers to come up and make plays. One of them had a really big game last night, D'Artagnan Martin. You know, that's one of the guys who's going to come down and hit. Yeah. And I can trust him behind me.
One of the things that we were impressed with against Bullard especially is the team's physicality, right? So last year, you know, played against Central in the Division I playoffs. That's a game that you're like, oh, okay, so this is Division I football, and it looks like you guys are going to be in Division I again. You guys keep winning. Talk about how much you guys focused on being physical for this year.
Last year, like, the whole D1 was Central. We had thoughts of it, but we weren't really, like, expecting to get put in D1. But then when it happened, it was kind of like, dang. And then, you know, we took a big loss to Central. I think this year, going into the season, we know we're going to have to play fast, be more physical, because we are probably going to be put in that position again. So we just have to be prepared for that.
Do you obviously, your offense gets a lot of publicity, and deservedly so, man. Those guys put up points. But talk about some of the, you know, defense, man. Defense wins championships, right? So who are some of the dogs on your defense that you play with?
This year we have a lot. You know, we have a young defensive DB, Atreyu Martin. That's D'Artagnan's Martin, younger brother. He's good. We have a safety. This is his first year playing football, Greg Dominguez. He's doing really good. We have our young running back on the defense, Cordae Glass. He's been doing good. Our D lineman, Ethan Pillis, we just got him back. He's did pretty good these last two games after he blew out his knee. You know, we have a couple young guys, a couple older guys, and I think that it just makes as well. Our defense just has to play physical, play fast, and be prepared for what's coming.
Well, your offense can score pretty fast, right? So sometimes you score within two plays, like, oh, we got to get back out there.
That's,
we probably like that.
Going into defense, that's Coach Cannon and Coach DJ always preach, like, let's get a three and out and get our offense the ball, because we put trust in our offense and know that they're going to go down fast and score, and then we have to get back on the field and get another stop.
Yeah, you got to get back after it. All right, so you're playing Golden West next week. And then after that, Frontier, who beat Bakersfield last night, and then Redwood.
Redwood.
Redwood, and they had a good game against Clovis North. So those guys are tough as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty tough game. That's going to be another game where we're going to have to stop the run, you know, focus on that a lot.
It looks like that's a home game against Redwood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. All right, we got a couple minutes with Eric Lamb. Plays defensive line for the Hanford Bullpups, who are 2-0. All right, so you thinking about college at all? You got any college prospects, anybody talking to you, or do you want to try to play at the next level?
Yeah, of course. Of course that's the plan, get an offer this year. If not, go JUCO, probably Fresno City or COS, haven't decided yet. And then from there, get an offer and go play.
All right, that sounds great. With Hanford, right, playing in Division I last year, and then you guys will probably be in Division I again. Mm-hmm. Like, how have the coaching staff, like, really coached you up in just getting that, you know, next level type mentality? Because you guys are you're a medium sized school.
Yeah,
right? You're not a Buchanan. You know, you're not a Bakersfield size. You guys are still a medium sized school.
Yeah.
So how have the coaches, like, preached mentality, you know, playing at a high level?
They just tell us, like, be prepared for what's going to come this year, because last year I don't think we were very prepared going into that D1 game. You know, we went out there nervous. We didn't have very high energy in the locker room before the game. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone was just nervous, and after that first play, I think, like, all the energy just died and everyone just kind of gave up. And, you know, that's the coaches, like, tell us, like, we cannot do that again. Like, now we're looking forward to knowing that we're going to be in D1, so we need to be prepared and be prepared to play against those high teams at a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you're going to be playing Golden West, Frontier, Redwood, and then league starts with Dinuba, Tulare Western, Mishinoka, and then that final game against Lemoore, which is going to be a great game. So, Eric, we really, really appreciate you coming in. You know, you got a great voice, man. You got a radio voice, nice and deep. But, yeah, it fits your personality. Coach Cannon Sanchez, has rave reviews about you. So thanks for coming on. Really appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
All right. Coming up after break, we're going to be talking with Mitch Stevens, SB Live, about Central Section football and football up and down the state, coming up on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here. First String Sports. Sierra and Herndon, Sierra and Bullard, right in between there. All right, just had a really good conversation with Eric Lamb, Hanford football. Yeah, they got a really, really strong team down there. Most likely going to be in Division I, even though they got about 1,300 students, 1,400 students. So good conversation with him. Mitch Stevens is coming on the show now. He was a former prep editor at San Francisco Chronicle, national columnist for CBS, Max Preps, and now is the senior editor at SB Live. Okay. So, Mitch, first of all, thanks for coming on. But, you know, we had some hard rock coming in as like your intro music show, so to speak. What was your type of music you listened to in high school? What would have been like your, you know, walk up music? What were your jams back then?
Oh my God, I'm a total soft rock guy. My idols were musical idols were Cat Stevens and James Taylor. I'm kind of a, you know, softy guy along those lines. I don't know how inspiring they were. I'm back in 1978. That's when I graduated from Santa Barbara High. But yeah.
Well, I'm sure that music kind of woke you up a little bit. I heard you are up super, super late editing videos and editing articles for the SB Live website. So yeah, it probably gave you a little jolt. So last night, you know, week two, I think it was week one in a lot of other sections up and down the state. But I know you're based up north. You hang out up north a lot. So what games were you at last night, or what were you able to check out?
Yeah. So I'm in beautiful Antioch, which is the East Bay of the Bay Area, and I was went up to Folsom. State power for years, and they played Sarah. These were, SB Live's number 7 and 8 teams in the state, the highest ranked Northern California teams, and they went face to face. And a little surprise, Sarah, even though Sarah's ranked ahead, they pulled out a 17-12. It was gritty. It wasn't pretty, but it was a great high school game because there was equal amounts of mistakes and, really hard nosed, tough, tough game. Yeah.
And sorry, go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it's a little different from the week before when I was down in in your neck of the woods. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what we remember Folsom, and obviously they had those phenomenal teams, you know, record-setting quarterback that went on to the University of Washington. What did he throw, 100 touchdown passes? Just something just absolutely crazy, like 100 touchdown passes in a year. I mean, just off the charts. Yeah. And we remember them coming to Central. And that was right with Trent Tompkins. I think it was his junior year. And I mean, they had dudes all over the field. I think that's what we remember from Folsom here in the Central Section.
Yeah, they're just wild. Yeah, they've had great offense.
So last week, Mitch, you were able to come to Clovis and hang out for the weekend. You're here for the Clovis and Long Beach Poly game. And then you stay for the Buchanan and Bakersfield game the next day. What are some things that stood out to you during that week?
You know, right away it was, and I think you even tweeted something out. It was about pageantry, and I've been lucky enough. I've covered things nationally, and my favorite assignments of all time were covering football in Texas. And you know, there's something about the stadiums that you have there. The two stadiums are absolutely, you don't see those kind of things in the Bay Area or in Southern California, to be honest with you. So the pageantry and the enthusiasm of the, I mean, Clovis, obviously a young team, and they were overmatched. I felt bad for the new coach who had that game scheduled right off the bat. But, I did tweet out also that nobody's going to beat that cheering section. They just had so much fun. And from a big picture kind of standpoint, what I kind of took away was just how awesome they were. My second takeaways. I wish Buchanan had played Long Beach Poly. I mean, they each won handily, and I think that would have been a nice matchup. But this is my first time really stepping my toes in the Central Section. I've seen games here and there when they've crossed over, but just a great. There were two blowouts, but I enjoyed them thoroughly. And Jaden Mandel. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, you did. Yep.
Fresno State. They're getting a good one. I think he's totally under recruited. The two quarterbacks for Long Beach Poly and Buchanan, I thought, were very similar in just the way they could move and throw on the move. I was very impressed with Buchanan. I see they won a wild one last night. I don't know if you got any details of that, but I'm very curious to what happened there.
I did. So Front Row Preps did an article, so I was able to glance through that. And, yeah, overtime win for Buchanan.
Wow.
Made a couple clutch plays late. Jaden Mandel, he was committed to Fresno State baseball up until last year, and then his football career just exploded and took off. He's like, oh, yeah, Coach Tedford called and offered me a scholarship. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'm all in for that. He's going to graduate early and enroll early at Fresno State in January. So, yeah, he's in complete control as a quarterback. He's very comfortable in that position. You mentioned how this is like kind of your first real glimpse into Central Section football. You've been based up north, and you know that area as well as anyone in the state. We talked a lot here in the Central Section how, SoCal, how big SoCal is, and how every once in a while we'll get a team and we can, in the state playoffs, we can compete with the SoCal team and beat them. Mm-hmm. But they don't really care about us that much. They're like, oh, Central Section, we don't worry about them. But then NorCal, I feel like, and I'd love to get your perception on this, is that NorCal, like, oh, no, shoot, we got to play the Central Section in the state playoffs because they compete extremely well and they beat us a lot. Is that kind of the perception of the Central Section where NorCal's like, oh, yeah, these guys can play ball all across all the sports?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question that said, what's kind of interesting is I don't think there's a, just like me, there's they haven't done it a lot, so there's kind of the unknown. And, what they're finding out is there's all it's very comparable. I think it's all comparable. The San Joaquin Section, the North Coast Section, the Central Coast Section, and Central. What I've seen and what I saw the other, very comparable athletes and size in rosters, that kind of thing. Nobody's sleeping on the Central Section, and they're gaining. I think it's gaining more and more respect. Every year as they see them more, right? And I'm totally piqued. That's really what I wanted to do when I took this job just a couple months ago. I wanted to see more in the Central Section. I love what I'm seeing.
And we've had some great football players who actually have made national news. We got Adrian Martinez from Clovis West, who started for 4 years in Nebraska. He's now starting at Kansas State. And then Kendall Milton, the five-star running back from Buchanan, who's going to be the man at Georgia this year. The two guys that were ahead of him last year at running back have graduated, so he's expected to get the bulk of the carries. We obviously won a national title last year with Georgia. So, yeah, we got some dudes. We got some guys that come out. You're like me. I think we both love the human interest stories. One of the things that I love to do on my radio show is when I have coaches on, I like to get behind the stories. I like to talk about, their journey to be a coach or their relationship with the players and, how special that relationship is in high school football. When you peel back the uniform and take off the helmet, there's kids under there. And, I have three daughters and are teenagers.
Sure.
And my high school years were very formidable as well. And I got great memories of playing high school sports. But, what is it about the human interest stories about high school sports that piques your interest so much?
Well, I mean, high school in general is, I mean, what a just emotionally charged. I mean, they're, you know, you, we go to our reunions. Our best friends. You hear the professional athletes, right? They always talk about with such vigor and enthusiasm about their high school days. I mean, I've covered all levels, but I've always loved the high school level for that reason. But I've covered, you know, athletes when they've become professionals. And when I ask them about their high school days, and they just light up. They don't want to talk about the same old stuff, you know, at the professional level. And, you know, they just love these days. And, yeah, I just find, you know, there's just so much honesty and earnest and it's inspiring. The stories I have done at the high school level, I mean, they're just unforgettable. Some of the story I did this at the national level with Max Preps, and so I, you know, blind football players and cross country kids. There was a young lad, and the most inspiring thing I've ever. This kid was on a fast track. He was a baseball player, and he had this viral infection. They had to partially amputate four limbs. I mean, and this kid at 12 years old you give up on it, and he played varsity baseball. He hit 300 as a senior, and this was in the Midwest. And then he went to Vanderbilt and wanted to be a GM. You know, his baseball dreams. He was on a fast. He was a really good player, but you know, and then you think, and as far as I did a story in Richmond where you know. Things don't go. They're not relatable to most of us. Kids. I do this one story where a kid got shot, and another kid. Both of his brothers were actually murdered on the same day. Unbelievable trauma, right? But the football. They had a saying: "All we got is all we need," and you know, it brings them together. So it's vital. You know, this is a vital pipeline, and not just for youth, but these are our future, right? So it's wonderful.
Absolutely. And you know, it's CIF. I don't know if you got that email, but CIF sent out these PSAs, right. And there were these videos that came out about, you know, the treatment of referees / even players. Yeah. They have a little segment of, you know, there's kids, man. These are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, sometimes 15-year-old kids, and we forget that. And, you know, we for lack of a better word, we can judge them on their performance on a field. And, you know, as they get older, as you reach the college and then the pros, right? Pros, nothing's off limits. You can critique them as much as possible. But, you know, again, they're high school kids, right? And they're doing the best they can. And there's social media. There's all these different distractions that can make times difficult as well. So, anyway, that's a topic that I love to explore as well.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Last night I got to tell you, I heard a parent start to talk to some kid. They were up down on the field, and that got my ears up. And if he would have continued just a little bit more, he stopped. But yeah, I've heard that where they're trying to get in the kid's ear, you know, and that's just crazy. But yeah, that's a whole other topic.
It is. And really quick, too, my youngest daughter plays basketball, right? And played high school basketball, and she's going to be a sophomore. And I remember one time coming back from a 10U kind of tournament deal. Uh-huh. And I was just giving her some, I thought were pointers, right? I thought were some helpful advice, being a basketball guy myself. And she didn't say anything back. And then at the end, she's like, "Dad, I just kind of want to play basketball for fun." And I'm like, that just kind of got me. And I'm like, okay, yes, I love you, honey. You did great, right? That kind of thing. So it's always an important reminder that, you know, the kids are kids, and they just want to be loved. And again, I love my daughter dearly. But, yeah, it's important to remember those things. So I want to ask you too. Yeah, Mitch, who, you know, you've covered high school sports and you know, prep sports up and down the state, for the most part, NorCal. But who are some of the best athletes that you just said, man, wow, that guy's going to be a pro? Or who's some of the best athletes you've ever covered?
Yeah, God, you know, more and more, you know, I don't know about you, but I see these kids now, and it's like, you know, you're already projecting them in the NFL or, you know, professional sports. Their bodies are, you know, they're just bigger, and they look like grown men and women, too, you know. So, but, you know, Jason Kidd was the first one kind of on my radar. I mean, and him and Aaron Gordon were probably the two who I covered regularly, you know. You know, the two of the greatest high school players. They accomplished so much, you know, and their teams won. You know, I've been on the De La Salle beat for years.
Oh, yeah.
It was my first, when I first came in, that was who I covered for the Contra Costa Times. So, I mean, DJ Williams was a man child. I mean, he was, as a freshman, he had an NFL body, you know. Maurice Jones-Drew, he was something else. I'll just tell you quickly, you know, I've done it nationally. The Bryce Young, modern day, just recently, you can just tell he was just so poised and just made every play, and he's obviously doing that at the college level. But I got to cover Derrick Henry the night he broke the national record for most yards career-wise. I get to go down to Florida and cover him. But that was kind of Florida's great football, but his level that he was playing against, they were just, if you see some of the highlights, and, you know, they were just little kids, basically. But yeah. he had a grown-up body. So, yeah. Those are just some,
Well, I know that, you know, the De La Salle, obviously, you know, books have been written and movies, and we know about the winning streak. Was it 138 in a row?
They won 152.
Oh, 152.
Okay.
152. Well, just last week had Damon Jenkins on. He's the head coach at Kerman now, who was part of those teams. Yeah, played at Fresno State. Yeah. So, yeah, he's doing a great job. The Lions are 2-0. We got a couple minutes talking with Mitch Stevens of SB Live. We want to thank him greatly for taking the time. All right, so high school playoffs. All right, again, we're talking about stuff that's in the future. It was a hot topic last year, kind of a mess, right? We had some of our small schools were going 10-0, and then they weren't getting a home game in the first round of the playoffs, and so that the playoffs were amended this year a little bit. We got base divisions. I'm not going to ask you necessarily about ours, but, like, what do other sections, how are they placing teams in, you know, in the playoffs? Is it by enrollment? Thinking more of the Sac Joaquin section, because those are very favorable. Right. Is it enrollment, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it is all over the board. There's a competitive equity model, and then there's enrollment base. And then what I you know, I just went into, I met you at the media day, in Central Sac. I went to a media day at Sac Joaquin. I'm not as familiar, but I listened to kind of what they do, and I kind of liked their model, which was it kind of combines both. And they saw, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but Central Catholic, you look, they had all their teams, and they have enrollment base, and all of them are well over 2,000 in Division I, their top division. And then Central Catholic has 383, and they're in Division I. What they saw, what they said was, if you're punching above your weight class and you're kicking everybody's butt, they just move you up. I don't know the process exactly. Central Catholic is fine with it. You know, across the board in all these sections, they all kind of do it a little bit differently. I'm curious more about the Central section. But it always does elicit a lot of passion and fury, and you know, it doesn't seem like you're doing right. I can attest that these sections, they're doing, I mean, they're really trying to figure it out, and a lot of it is based around the private and public problems. I know that's a big thing in the Central Coast. It presents a lot of problems or kind of, but I don't think they're ever going to just create a whole public private. They're not going to split them up in California. They do it in a couple other states, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, again, you think of SoCal in the modern day and the St. John Bosco. Yeah. St. John Bosco went in and whipped up on another team from Texas in Texas last night. I think modern day had a tough one against Bishop Gorman in Nevada last night. I think they had to make a couple plays late to pull that one out.
That's
but, for our section, we got San Joaquin Memorial, who's elevated their game in football. But, we don't have – those really big private schools that are necessarily state powers.
Right. The Central Coast is the one that's really, because they have a whole league called the West Catholic Athletic League, which is great. They have a whole league with these, but they dominate everything. And the lower teams, Sacred Heart Cathedral placed fifth or sixth in the league, and they won a state title last year. You know, they were the last team standing, basically, last team that won out of that league. It's real tricky for them. I think they do the best they can, but, oh, boy, there's a section that really gets hammered and how they do things. And it's just tough, though. They have a ton of private schools, so it presents a real problem. How many private schools are there in?
Well, we just had the San Joaquin Memorial, and then Emmanuel down at Reedley and Fresno Christian. Okay. But, those are Division IV, Division V schools. And there's Central Valley Christian, obviously, has a really good team in Visalia. But, on the coast, there's the St. Joe's and, a few others. But, there's definitely no powers. But, Mitch, we knew that this 20 minutes was going to fly by. We knew we weren't going to be able to talk about everything that we wanted to talk about. But we really appreciate you taking the time. And, really, thank you a lot.
If I wouldn't have talked so much, maybe we could have. So I apologize.
All right. Well,
thanks, Paul. I really appreciate it.
You bet. We'll get you gone again. So follow Mitch Stevens on Twitter and on SB Live as well. Does incredible stuff. All right. Thanks again, Mitch. Really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Coming up after the break, at the top of the hour, a little off the top of the hour, actually, we got a couple of more football coach Rich Tooman and Preston Scott coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. This is hour number two here at First String Sports. Hour number one, had a great conversation with Mitch Stevens of SB Live, Gabe Camarillo, and Eric Lamb of Hanford, the big guy, big number 99, came on the show, big nose guard. I think Lamar's going to be facing that guy. I think October 28th is their date. But, we got Lamar football on the show right now. Preston Scott, he's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. All right, I'm going to go back to that Selma game, and I tease this in the opener. Central section record with three punt returns for TDs, one kickoff return, and a TD reception. So Cal High Sports, I don't know if you guys saw this, Cal High Sports said that that's a state record as well, tied a state record with the three punt returns for a touchdown. We also have Coach Rich Tooman. Was kind enough to come straight from practice a little more, drove all the way here to Fresno. So, first of all, appreciate you guys taking the time and taking the drive here to come.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
All right. I got to go back, Preston. Let's talk about that Selma game. I know last night you had a really good game as well against Washington Union. But Selma, could you have imagined, when you woke up that morning, did you feel something special, or couldn't you imagine that you're going to have an incredible game like that?
Early in the morning, I tend to think about and daydream what I would like to do in the game. And I went into the game really confident. I had a feeling that I would do good this game. And I just wanted to do good for my team and do my job.
And so tell me the order of the punt returns. Was it the opening kickoff or their first punt of the game?
Yeah, the first punt of the game, I brought it back for a touchdown.
Okay. So when was the second one then?
The second one. Actually, we blocked the second. We blocked the second time they punt, and then it was the third punt. He took that one back as well.
All right. Let's go back to that first one. Did your team just throw some incredible blocks? Did you just see an opening and just hit it? Can you describe that first one?
Yeah, I caught the ball, and I saw my team is blocking. I saw the gap, and I just hit it.
Okay, so the second one was a block, and you picked it up and went?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But actually, that's part of what he's good at. We set up a wall, what we call a staggered wall, but his talent is that pretty much, I mean, he's probably not going to admit it because he's a very humble kid, but every time he goes to catch a kick, he truly believes he's going to the house. So when he comes, here's no hesitation. It's full go, and then he hits the holes. And then all he needs is we tell our guys, you don't have to bury a guy. You just got to get in front of him.
Yeah.
Just get in front of him and press him and take care of the rest.
And then on the third one, what were your teammates saying when you came back to the sideline? Were like, dude, you got another one? What were some of the things they were saying?
Hey, man, my teammates are always so supportive, and they're always trying to hype me up and make sure I'm doing my best and I'm at the highest standard and make sure I'm mentally right. And well, they allow me to do my job by doing their job and sending me my block so I can get one of those touchdowns for the team.
Absolutely. But, like, when you crossed the line for that third touchdown, were you like, is this really happening? Or is it just like, did I just score my third punt return touchdown?
Yeah, I was talking to one of my teammates, Demel Turner. He said it felt like a dream because – we've been waiting for this moment since January. We've just been in the weight room lifting, and the first game was really a knockoff for us. So,
and Coach, what were you and your coaching staff? Were you just like, oh, my gosh, I can't – well, first of all, I can't believe they punted to them again, right? But right. We were just what did we just witness? Look at this kid.
Yeah, I want to put this out there. Last year, we kind of stumbled into him being a punt returner at all because last year he was not the punt returner, and the punt returner hurt a foot. So I asked Preston to go in and return a punt, and he took it to the house. His first punt last year went to the house. So he instantly became our kickoff and punt returner from that point forward. But, no, I of course, nobody can imagine 3 in 1 game. But, you know, we pretty much go into every game thinking if they kick to him, you know, we have an opportunity. And we think that is our third phase of the game is our special teams. And with him on the side, we've got an opportunity every time.
And then a kickoff return. Was that the fourth touchdown?
Yeah, and that was coming out of halftime. We got the ball for the second half, and I had taken Preston off of the punt return, obviously.
Gotcha.
But I just didn't think that they would kick to him again.
Yeah.
And they did, and that was an 80-some yard touchdown return for a touchdown.
Wow, incredible performance! All right, so let's talk a little bit about last night's game. So you go into Washington Union. Yeah, they're an improved team as well. The game was tight. I believe it was 42-35 at one point, and you guys got a pick six to kind of seal the game. So, Coach, what can you describe last night's game and who stood out to you on your side?
Well, again, we watch film on them. They're a good ball club. They're very athletic. They fly to the ball very well. They got great athletes on the outside. And we knew going in it was going to be a game. But game plan played out kind of where we wanted to go. And then we had to stand. I mean, our quarterback, Ty Chambers, stood up and did what he needed to. Again, all three phases of the game. Every time that it got close, somebody made a play. And that's all we preach in practice. Make a play. Everybody's got to go. You know, you never know when it's your time, but when it is, make a play, and we did that. I mean, Kobe Green had an inner pick six that you know, kind of took some down. They drove down this field, scored a touchdown, got within six, and he returned a kickoff for a touchdown. So that's where Preston here just returned it for a touchdown. So that's where if you do your job and somebody makes a play, we'll be competitive.
Yeah, and Preston, you returned a kickoff, like Coach said, against Washington Union. Again, do you feel like your speed, or do you make moves, or a little bit of both? Like how are you able to score on these long punts and kickoffs?
During kickoff returns and punt returns, there's really only one thing in my mind is if I see a gap, hit the gap, and from when it happens from there, I just do my job.
And as a punt returner and kick returner, you have to have no fear, though, as well, right?
Yeah.
So talk about how you're able to block that out and your mentality of, like, no fear.
Well, Coach Tooman always preaches to me and my teammates about cancel out the noise. Don't let the noise get to you. Stay true to yourself and lock in. Make sure you're only focused on the game and the game only, and doing your job. And I really think that keeps me and my teammates focused in the games.
And, Coach, we were talking off air a little bit. I was very curious about, the base kids. You talk about the base kids and then the little more, the more homegrown, I guess you could say. You could probably explain a little bit better than I. So you could tell right away that Preston, I mean, he's well, yes, sir, and well-spoken, and, You know, just talk about, you know, the types of kids that are on your team and how all that works.
Well, we're a tight-knit community, mainly a ag. Ag industry is around us the most of all. But we also have the Naval Air Station, which is, you know, 5 miles up the road. So junior high, they go on base. But high school, they come to Lemoore.
Okay.
And we get an influx. And usually the ones that come from the base are, like, well-mannered, like you know, everyone, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Also, they blend real well because they already know how to do that. So they come in, they blend right in. And Lemoore's that type of community that opens arms anyway because we know about the base. It's been there forever. So they come in and we pit. Now, we don't have as many as we've had in the past, but we've got a few on our team right now, and every one of them contribute in some way.
And your numbers are really good for Lemoore football, right?
Yeah, our numbers are up. Yeah, our numbers are up, and that's looking good for the program. So,
Preston, I want to go back to you a little bit. You know, again, we talked a little bit off air how you didn't start playing tackle football until ninth grade, right? So
yes, sir.
You just played maybe just pickup football or flag football or something like that, but your first time putting on the pads and really hitting or getting hit was in ninth grade. So what was that like? Was it culture shock for you? Was it like, oh, man, I don't even know how to put these things on?
Well, going into my first year of tackle football, I was worried because I didn't know if I would be as good as other kids who have been playing tackle football since they were young. But my freshman year was really a breakout year for me. It really opened me up to tackle football and getting confident with myself. That year, I think my career total touchdowns that year was like 22 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Well, I'll tell you something about this kid right here. When you talk to him right now, he's a very humble kid. Matter of fact, you talked about all the celebrations, all that stuff. Crescent hasn't talked about any of that during practices or anything after the Selma game. That's just the type of kid he is. But when he puts a helmet on, he stands about there. This kid has no fear. He has no fear whatsoever. He's going full bore no matter what he's doing. It's 100%, and he's not backing down.
I want you to talk a little bit more about Preston, as, you know, what you see and you know, the type of person that he is and, you know, the future that you think he's going to have.
Well, we've told him this from last year going into this year. I mean, he's obviously a key part of our offense and special teams team overall. Obviously he's getting more recognition, which he should have. He's probably one of the fastest on the team. He's got great footwork. His quickness in the breaks. So when he's coming on a kickoff return, to be able to see the hole, burst through the hole, and then make quick cuts to change direction is some of the best I've ever coached. And again, humble kid, conversation to us is whatever he can do to help the team. So that's why he does play offense in the slot. We put him in running back punts at times.
Yeah.
He's just got that attitude, and his future is going to be great. The kid's a good kid from top to bottom, and he's athletic. And the more people see it, the more I think that he's going to have some opportunities moving on.
Talking about Preston Scott, Lemoore football. What are your future plans? Do you want to go to college, or are you applying to college? You want to maybe try to play football? What are your future plans?
Yes, sir. I would love to go to play some college ball. Some of my favorites are probably USC, UCLA, and Fresno State. I would love to play football for them there. I really think that I'd be an impact to one of their teams.
Well, you follow college football more or NFL? What do you like better?
I like college football better.
Like college football? Who are your teams?
Ohio State.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. When did you start liking Ohio State? What is it about the Buckeyes?
My dad's just always kept me as one of their most valuable fans since I was younger, and I would always be up early in the mornings or late at night since I was young just watching the games with my dad and just grew up watching them, and I don't know.
Well, they got a lot of 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. 9 a.m. games, Ohio State. Yeah. So wake up early and watch some of that football. Coach, I want to ask you about when did you know that this team was going to be a pretty darn good team, right? I saw you for a little bit, saw your team in the scrimmage against San Joaquin Memorial, and you know what they did last night? They beat Central at Central. When did you and your staff know, like, hey, guys, this is going to be a pretty darn good team?
Well, I mean, you know, every year we, you know, think we're going to be good, but this team, we've said it from the start of the season. You know, I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to be competitive. Obviously, we have the potential if things go right that they could be, you know, it could be special. San Joaquin Memorial, again, that's where my where I came from, coach wise, and and I know how they're built. I know how tough they are, and so that was our, you know, some of our goal going into season, not necessarily San Joaquin Memorial, but to hit the weight room, and so that we could be more physical. And I think we were able to hold our own. I'm not saying that, you know, we did anything there, but we was able to hold our own against San Joaquin Memorial. So that gave us a bright spot. But like everybody else, we're going through an injury bug right now. So we last two games we've went in with basically no our linemen. You know, we actually have two linemen out, so we had a couple guys have to go both ways in the lineman position, which is kind of devastating. But it's just these kids, as long as they take it one game at a time and they do their play of the year game, we'll be competitive, I think.
And I know that you know, there's a lot of players up and down the central section that are playing both ways, right? Mm-hmm. There's just it's not a small school thing. Yep. It's seeping up all the way, Division II, Division III teams. A lot of guys are having to go both ways. You got hired at an interesting time, right, Coach? You started hopping, right?
Yeah.
Got hired. Sure. So let's see, you're right. The COVID monster hit. You know, officially the school shut down in the middle of March. So when were you hired, and what did that look like?
I was hired in June. So basically I was late start anyway, then COVID, you know, hired basically during COVID. We actually coached for almost 10 months before they even made the chance to possibly play a game. Then we found out that we was only going to have varsity, and then we found out we was only going to have three games. And so when that happened, I made the choice to bring – and that's why we're where we are now, is that I made the choice at that point to bring up all of the freshmen and sophomores that we thought we might want to look at to play in that COVID year that when we had the single one team.
Yeah.
And so Preston was on that group that came up. And so now all these guys, the seniors this year, all came up pretty much as freshmen and played through that time.
Wow. So yeah. So no JV games that entire year. Yep. So you brought those kids up, and did you only play three games that year?
And so we set up the schedule to see what, again, to see what kind of heart we had or what kind of kids we had. So we had San Joaquin Memorial, Tulare Western, and Hanford. So, you know, we're playing young kids throughout time. I mean, we literally started five freshmen. I think it was five freshmen a couple times during in them three games, mainly freshman, sophomore, just sprinkling a couple juniors. But we got the mix now, which is what I'm trying to do in the program, or we are trying to do as a coaching staff, is we got a good base of seniors mm-hmm. now that are the anchors. We got juniors that are filling, and then we sprinkle in some younger guys, and I think it's the right mix right now.
So if I looked at Max Preps, right, kind of going off memory, so you played those three games, and then last year you guys went 8-3. Am I
eight
right
and three.
On that?
Yeah.
And then this year you guys are 2-0.
2-0.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, what an incredible turnaround after not having any JV games and bringing those kids up, only playing a few games. Preston, what? During that time, like, was it difficult for you to stay motivated, right? Again, you're young, you know, you're moving up to varsity, you're only playing a couple games. Like, what was that like for you as a student athlete?
It definitely was confusing.
Yeah.
About the impact on how is it impacting the world in sports in general. But, I mean, the motivation was always there. I mean, I've always had the love for the game. So going to practice every day and trying to do my best, it wasn't difficult for
wow.
me.
Wow. All right. Perfect answer. Right, Coach? That's the type of kid that you want on your program. Excellent. All right. So looking at your schedule now. Again, you're 2-0. Looking at a game here, Friday, September 2nd, playing Clovis West.
Yeah.
Right? Outscored their opponents 90-0 in their first two games.
Yep.
Got a solid group of offensive players. They're all juniors. Coach Eric Brown's done a great job. Looks like it's a home game. It's going to be in Lemoore. And then you got Sanger, right? CMAC and track back-to-back weeks. What was the thinking behind scheduling those games?
Well, we talk about it in practice all the time. If you want to be the best, you got to play the best. And so we try to schedule ourselves into that zone. You're never going to know if you can compete at that level unless you play somebody in that level. And we, you know, Clovis West is a great team. Everybody knows it. We love the opportunity. They're coming down. It's military and first responder appreciation night that same night. So it's going to be a good game to have Clovis West, because usually you don't get the track coming down down there very often. So we appreciate them scheduling with us, and we look forward to suiting up.
And Preston, for you and your teammates, I know you just played last night and you're still kind of thinking about last night's game, but yeah, how excited are you to play against, you know, a potential, you know, Division One type team? And Sanger is right there on the bubble too. What are you looking forward to most? You just, again, you're a humble guy. I know it's going to be hard for you to talk about that, but like, how excited are you and your team and your teammates about playing a big school like that?
Yeah, no, they're a great team. Sanger and Close West are both great teams, and me and my teammates we're excited. We're ready to go out there and have some dogfights.
All right, I like that. I like that answer. And, Coach, you've got a couple more minutes here. I'm not ending on a downer here, but the playoffs have always been an interesting issue, right? And, you know, people are being moved up and down and whether or not it's fair or not. But what's your opinion on the playoffs, right? There's kind of two schools of thought where – hey, we should be in this division, or hey, heck, guys, we're playing the game that's in front of us. We can only control what we can control. What are your thoughts about all
well,
that?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's we have to go with that philosophy because that's the way it is. Yeah. I mean, you got to play whatever they tell us we got to play. Last year, like I same comment last year. I didn't think that was the right way to go because you could move up or down too many spots, and you had guys falling that shouldn't be down there. But as far as the way they got it set up this year, I think it's as good as I think you can get it. It's fair enough with the one up, one down rule. Expanding to 12 was a good idea. I still think it should be a full 16, just like every other one, because you're going to have some lower level D1s that will probably fall into the D2, mm-hmm. and then it gets tough to be competitive, especially like we're a base D3, and if we have a successful year like we did last year, we're going to move up to D2. So
yeah.
Are we aligning that to be, you know, is it a reward for us to be do good and be moved up and then play somebody that, you know, is a D1 that we shouldn't be in the same division as them? So I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. I'm not the guy making the rules. We just follow what we can, and we play hard with whatever's put in front of us, and we'll see what goes down from there.
All right. Well, we really enjoyed our conversation. Again, you guys had film session and probably a little yeah. weight training and you know, fleshing going on down a little more. He took the time to drive here to First String Sports in Fresno and talk about Lemoore football. Again, very, very, you know, very happy for you guys. And I know you got your program has been through a lot the last couple of years. And I think it's a testament to you, Rich, about how you've invested in these kids and, you know, you brought them along. And it doesn't hurt that you got kids like Preston Scott in That's your right. program to That's help right. you not only, you know, as a great teammate, but a great player as well.
Yeah. No, again, we say it, you know, verbally. I say it before our prayer every week that I love them, and they know that. You know, there's times you got to be hard on them, but they know it's only to make them better. And, you know, they were he was in my first group as the head coach, so they're emotionally on that side. But yeah, I love these kids. They work hard. My coaching staff, I got to give them props because I really do think everybody does, but I really truly think I have the best one. We work well together. We back and forth, you know. I tried to get as many Lemoore alumni as I could because they care then, mm-hmm. and they do, and they put in the hours, you know. I mean, somebody joking last night said that if you break down it's like you making 11 cents an hour. You know, I don't think it's that high, but okay. But at the end of the day, these kids, it's all about the kids. That's why we do it. And that's why we put hours. Like last night, we got done at 11 o'clock. We went back, we uploaded, tried to do the film, and then we had film session at 8 o'clock this morning, had the whole team, coaching staff there, broke out of that session into individual sessions, and then I finally had to grab Preston and say, we got to go.
So. Got to get. All right. Again, thank you guys for taking that drive and talking with us. Lemoore football, catch the Tigers next week. Big one against Clovis West. Preston, good luck to you in the future. You're a fine young man. Again, that game against Selma is one that you're going to remember for a long time. We're going to be talking about for a long time. So congratulations. You deserve everything.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, talk about another team that's scoring a lot of points, man. Clovis East. Brandon Nagel, first-year head coach, is going to be coming on the show here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, P-A-U-L-M-E-T-T-E-R-S. M-E-A-D-O-R-S. You can follow 1430 ESPN as well at 1430 ESPN. Imagine that. You can go back to the 1430 ESPN website and listen to any episodes of the Central Valley Sports Report. There's parents out there or grandparents that maybe live in a different state that's not able to listen in on the show if their grandson or was on the show or their granddaughter or something like that, and you could go back and listen. So anyway, lots of options to listen to Central Valley Sports Report and on other shows. All right, just had a really good conversation. Oh, Coach Rich Tooman of Lemoore. And then Preston Scott, I mean, just a great kid. I wish we could have explored a couple more things, because talk about the difference between some of the base kids, the military kids that are there. And Preston, he was a military kid. He said his dad had just retired from the military about 7 months ago. And you could tell, man, how it came through on the radio. Is just a, you know, respectful young man and humble. But what an incredible start to the season he has. All right, speaking of incredible starts to the season, all right, I have – Clovis East head coach Brandon Nagel right now. Timberwolves are 2-0. First of all, Brandon, thanks for coming.
Hey, excited to be here. Thank you.
And we met a few years ago. You've coached at Emmanuel and Reedley and Clovis North.
Yeah.
And where else?
I was at started at Clovis North and then went to Emmanuel and then was a head coach at Reedley for 3 years, and then the last couple years I was at Bullard. Yeah, and then took the job, defense coordinator job at Clovis East, and now the head coach.
And so when you were at Reedley and Emmanuel, were you living in Fresno and taking that drive?
Oh yeah, it was about an hour drive every day. I did that for 6 years. It was a lot of driving.
Would you take freeway to Manning, or did you go like back roads?
180 to Reed.
180 all the way to Reed.
Yeah, and now it's beautiful. It's a beautiful drive now. Back then it was just one lane. Or two-way lane. So
one lane and no real gas stations to stop and get yourself an iced tea or something like that. So anyway, you're let's talk about the Timberwolves. Let's talk about last night's game, for instance. So you guys are scoring fast and furious. Your offense is running at a high level. So talk about last night's game against Atwater.
We wanted to get off to a fast start. I think last week we left a lot of points on the board, and then defensively we gave up some scores at the end. And so this week was about finishing. We wanted to come out, start quick, and then the biggest thing is we have a lot of seniors, but we also have a lot of sophomores. We have 9 sophomores starting. So we're just trying to mature as a team, and so that was what last night was about, was growing as a team. So I thought it went good.
Yeah, good. With 53 points, 52, that's pretty good. All right, and you talk about a couple sophomores. Ty Miller is your sophomore quarterback, and he's getting rave reviews. I've seen the highlights, and, I watched him last year. I think we did 2 Clovis East games, and, he took his lumps, and you figured he would, but he stood tall as much as he could. He made a lot of throws that were impressive. For a freshman, the seeds are there. He's tough as nails. I think he comes from good stock, right, with his parents as well. So, just talk about Ty and, what a quality football player and person that kid is.
I'll start as a person. That kid works hard all day. I think he has a 4.0. We were talking about last week, we were conditioning. He's first every single time. He's never not first. And that just explains him from – he's just a competitor. And then, this new system, it's been hard on him. We're asking a lot out of him. He's setting protections, calling the plays. He's doing a lot for us. So it's still like being a freshman a little bit in the system. So he's done a good job, but he's making mistakes, and you don't see it, but he knows those, and he gets better. And a lot of people just see the touchdowns. It's all the little things that he's doing. I just alone, like setting protections is not easy as a sophomore, and he's doing a really good job of that.
Well, explain that a little bit more. So setting protections as a quarterback, you're putting a lot on his plate, right?
Yeah.
Talk about that. What does that look like?
A lot of defenses, we see different defenses every week, and they have different blitzes and different things. So you don't want to, you call a play and you don't want, say they have a certain blitz on out there, you don't want to call a play into that. So he has to do a good job of setting protection to that blitz and giving himself some protection so he doesn't take too many shots.
And last year he didn't do that, right? It was set play.
You're running that play and you're
trying to impose your will, so to speak,
right.
against the other team.
A lot different offense last year than this year. Coach Hunter's done a great job with him. He's asking a lot. I mean, the kid's 16 years old, and he's doing a great job managing this offense.
So talk about your coaching staff a little bit. So you mentioned it was Colby Hunter, who's coached offensive coordinator and has done, you know, been in a few programs. But yeah, what are the what's the type of offense, you know, that you're running, and what is Colby bringing to the table offensively?
Well, the one thing is he brings he's an OCD guy, so he demands perfection. But we bunch of formations. We want to be quick. We can be fast. We can be slow. And so we just want to set the pace. We want to make sure on offense that we're the ones setting the pace, not the defense setting the pace on us. And so that's really what we're about. And I would just say that really it to have that happen, we got to be in great shape, and we got to be able to think while we're tired.
Okay.
And so that's what this 2 weeks has been really about on our offense is we're going to make mistakes, but can we clean those up? Can we fix those? And so the conditioning and all that helps that out. So.
Yeah, so when you think Clovis East football, right, it's still stuck in a lot of our minds where, you know, you think of the mid-2000s and you think of that style of offense, and even in the last few years of, you know, of a double tight, different things like that have grinded out. But if you go to a Clovis East football game, what's different? What are you going to see?
What's different? Well, obviously our offense is different over the years. I think that's what happened. We couldn't find some games this year. It took us a while. I think because people thought we were still the double wing tee. And
So
I think people are starting to see that we're throwing the football. We're multiple. We're still physical. And I think that's the misconception of out there that – or perception, sorry, is that when you run spread, you're not physical. And so we still want to be physical. We still want to have that physical run game, and we want to have all that. The other parts is defensively, we fly around and we want to hit. And I think that's always been a staple of Clovis East football. So that's not much different. But really, I would say it's the offense that's different more than anything.
What went into your decision to have that style offense? Obviously, Coach Hunter, but are you, you know, obviously, you know, Clovis West, you know, there's been a few coaching changes, offensive philosophies, and then you got Buchanan and then, of course, Central. So did you feel like you had to adapt to where the track is, or, you know, did you feel like maybe the style that Clovis East was trying to do the last few years just didn't work competing against the track? What's the philosophy behind that?
I think it was personnel. We had six receivers. We have a quarterback. We had some running backs, and we just decided that's what best fit our team. I mean, if I have four tight ends, I'm not going to run, you know, I'm going to be a little different. This year, this group, we have a lot of receivers, and then the personnel fit that. We have a little bigger O-line, a little more athletic. So we thought that's what fit what we wanted to do. But yeah, we're all about that. Like we have a system, but really we can do multiple different things depending on what kind of personnel we have through the years. You know, we're not going to always have six receivers.
Yeah.
So, we just have that system in place that's going to help, our future. And also we have Ty we want to use his legs and arms. So,
well, you're going to have Ty for a couple more years after this year. You got a lot of football ahead of you this year.
Yeah.
And, talking with Brandon Nagel, head coach at Clovis East. All right. You mentioned Ty, sophomore, but you got another sophomore that's really come on, a receiver. You mentioned receivers, right? Henry Duvall. Is that
all right? Harold Duvall.
Yeah. Okay. Harold Duvall.
Yep.
So talk about that guy.
The ultra competitor. He doesn't like to lose. He's young. I mean, another kid, I think he's 15, so he'll be turning 16 soon. Just a freak athlete, loves to compete, loves to go get the ball. That's why he's a ball hawk. Defense, he's playing both ways right now. And so he really has helped us solidify our secondary. And then on offense, having a lot of guys, it's good to let him go and make some plays. But having other guys, he can get breathers and things like that. But, man, I can't ask for a better competitor at that age. It's crazy that we're talking about sophomores now in football. You know, back when I played, it was only seniors and juniors. So,
yeah,
kids are growing. They're bigger now. And they're stronger. They're faster. And it's awesome.
Well, those types of kids, you know, that have the innate ability to be a competitor, right? As a coach, like, how are you able to kind of, you know, find that balance of getting the best out of a kid, you know, maybe coaching them a little bit different? Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you coach a kid a little bit harder because you know he can take it. Another kid's maybe you not as hard, but yeah, pull them aside, right? How are you able to find that balance?
I think every kid's different. I've learned that as a teacher. So you can't teach everybody the same. So as a coach, it's that. You know some kids you can push. You know some kids that you more have to be positive. Some kids are – it's just everybody's different. And so we try to do that. That's the hardest part as a coach is really finding out about your players and what pushes them and what makes them – what motivates them. And so that's our job as coaches to go do that. And I think we're doing a good job. I think our kids are having fun, and that's good to see. Our sidelines are excited when we score touchdowns, and that's the stuff that I get excited about as coach.
And where did you learn that from? Like, did that kind of philosophy have to change? First of all, did you coach like right out of college? When did you start?
No, I coached. Going way back. Yeah. I graduated Coles High in 2001.
Okay.
So I did start coaching. Sorry, before that, at Colvis North, I was at Clark, and I coached 1 year at Colvis High just as a helper. But I learned that from Coach Simons, Coach Tim Simons, and Larry Kellum, and being with Coach Moxley at Colvis North, and then even the last couple years being with Coach Arax and Coach Ferris. You just learn. I've been at different districts and different schools, and that's kind of why I think it's helped me as a coach, is being at these different places, is learning about all kinds of different situations, all kinds of different kids, home lives, things like that.
Yeah.
It's helped.
Yeah, that's one of the big differences, I think, between high school, and then you talk about the next level of college, and then you got the pros. But, yeah, I had a good conversation with Coach Tooman, Lamar, just about the heart, and Mitch Stevens, who's a writer for SB, like, just understanding, I think, as we get older, right?
Yeah.
As we get older, we understand that more of the hearts of high school kids, mm-hmm. right? It could be difficult at times, that, you know, but football brings out the best in kids at times, right?
Absolutely.
It gives them motivation, gives them, you know, an activity, something they'll remember for a long time. So back in your Clovis West days, like, was that stuff like Clovis High, sorry.
Okay.
Clovis High, like, did those types of things like really instill you like a love of coaching? Like, yeah, I remember what it was like.
Yeah, I mean, I've wanted to coach since I was a little kid. My parents still tease me about that. I was a little kid, and I wanted to coach. It's just something I always wanted to do. I wasn't good enough to play at a higher level. And so I from day one since I graduated, I've just been coaching. I mean, this is – I'm 40 now. I'm getting old, but this is my 22nd year of coaching. So I've been around a while now.
You're not that old, 40? Come on, I'm 50. And I just did one of the biggest mistakes you can do as a radio host is I said someone's from Clovis West when they're actually from Clovis. That's like, I'm surprised you didn't, you know, throw your water
bottle. No, it's okay.
what was the rivalry like between Clovis West and Clovis back in the day? Like, was it still the final game of the year like it is?
Yeah, it was the big rivalry. I mean, Buchanan was newish, and so it was those – I mean, Clovis East wasn't even open yet, so – yeah, that was the rivalry. I mean, it was always Clovis West, Clovis High.
Yeah.
So.
And then, speaking of rivalries, so next week, right, Sanger. Looks like that game is at Tom Flores Stadium. I don't know if I could say this for sure, but there's a good chance that there's going to be an ESPN presence at that game, like at that game next week. Let's be honest. Let's put that out there. There's been a little bit of history between the two schools, right?
Yeah, it's and, a huge rivalry.
Huge rivalry. There's been, you know, a couple dust-ups here and there, and two new coaches as well. Going into that game, what have you been telling your team, and you know, what are you looking forward to in that game next week?
We really just focus 1-0 each week, but in the back of our minds since January, we know what games are the big ones, and Sanger's one of them. It's a rivalry. We play for the Silver Spear. The kids, it's a border. You know, we share a border. Yeah. We have East kids that go there and Sanger kids that come to our school. It's a huge game. That great coaching staff over there with Coach Logue and Coach Mata. So we know what we're getting into. We know it's going to be physical. It's going to be a fight, and someone's coming out of there with a victory, but I mean, we're both probably going to be limping, and we're excited. I mean, I love going to Tom Flores. It's the best stadium to go play at, and so it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're excited.
Well, it's actually going to be, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, it's actually going to be my first time in that stadium.
Oh, wow.
So it's been compared to La Monica as far as like the, you know, the student section's on top. There's no track there, right? So you're on top. You could really hear the crowd. The crowd is into it. So. Yeah, I mean, you've been there. Did you play on that field, or you just?
I played. I've coached and played.
Okay.
So, I've been there many times, and they beat us many times, and so I think I've only won one time there, and I think I was a JV coach, so I don't think I've ever won there as a varsity coach.
So, what is the atmosphere like from your perspective? Like, explain what the stadium looks like, and you know, the fans. Is it standing room only on the? You know, can it be on the, you know, on the end zones?
Yeah, I think it's that one town or one team, one town mentality, and. When you have five Clovis schools, you know, it's a little harder to get fans, and they got one, and so it's sold out. I mean, they'll sell out and sit on the visitor side.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty exciting. it's hard to get fans to go to football games now. Everybody's got different sports and things, and that's still one stadium that packs the house every night. So it's pretty cool. Atmosphere kind of reminds you when I played and seeing those big crowds and things like that.
Yeah, let's go back to that, to your first game against Dinuba. And, you know, that's the town that I grew up in. I know Coach C.J. Lester well. We actually worked together for a little bit. You know, in that game, did you – so Harold had a touchdown, interception return mm-hmm. as well. You know, do you think that game – again, Dinuba's got a really good program there. But that game, you're like, hey, we put up a lot of points. This is what we can do all year.
We'll see. I mean, we just know the competition is going to get harder every week. We're trying. I mean, that's our goal, is to score points, but we know there's great coaches out there. We know Sanger's defense is really good, and they fly around and going on in the track. I mean, that's our goal. If we're scoring points like that, I think we're going to be in good shape, but it's in every Friday is different. So yeah. That's the plan.
and you're a defensive guy, right? The defense?
No, I'm not. I got Coach Lopez calling the defense. It's the first time in 18 years I haven't called a defense, so it's a little hard. I get in there, but I got to be a head coach and go be on both sides of the ball. So
yeah, how has that role changed for you? You were the head coach at Reedley High, right?
Yeah.
But you know, head coach at Clovis East now. How has that transition been like? You got to do a lot of delegating as well, right? You got to trust your coaches.
Yeah.
So has that been a process for you as well?
Oh, yeah. It's not easy. I like to have my hands in everything, and this is probably the first time in 22 years that I think I've done a good job of letting my coaches coach, and I'm handling the other stuff. I got to make sure, you know, we have our water boys and things like that. Yeah. I just got to make sure practice is going and making sure my coaches are happy and my players are happy. And so it's been difficult. I find myself sometimes on Fridays when I'm kind of bored, just not knowing what to do because I'm used to calling plays or doing something. So I'm getting better each week. It's different. I've never not called something, either offense or defense. And so it's been an adjustment.
Can you describe a day in the life of a coach in Clovis as far as what you do in the morning? And you're on campus. You're a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. What classes do you teach?
I football, PE, weight room, yeah.
Okay. So can you describe just kind of what that day looks like and some of the things that go through that day as far as, you know, maybe you're talking to your athletic director throughout the day, and then you're, you know, maybe a problem comes up with a kid or eligibility all kinds of stuff. Can you just kind of take us through a typical day?
Well, yeah, I usually get there, you know, 6 a.m. and we get going and we lift and then we get all that going. And then I have my, you know, freshman lifting class and my JV lifting class. And then usually it is meetings with the AD, make sure everything's good, make sure going out and checking the field, make sure we have everything ready to go for practice. So it usually starts about 6 a.m. and we get home about 7:30 p.m. And that's a typical day. It's a 12 to 13 hour day. I ask a lot of my coaches. I try to make sure they go home as early as possible, and but they know the grind. That's why they're into it. And so it's a long day.
And try to eat every once in a while.
Yeah, every now
time,
and
right?
Yep.
try to get some food in you. Did I read this right? Looking at your roster, you got a couple freshmen on the team?
Yeah, we have two freshmen on our team.
Two freshmen. One's last name is Slocum?
Yep, Tracy Slocum's son, yeah.
His? All right, so help us out with that, and tell us about him. And obviously Tracy Slocum, when the name, you know, comes up, you think about Clovis East and those teams in the mid-2000s and, you know, kind of what a legend he is. So that's his son, huh?
Yeah, Caleb's he's a stud. He's a freshman. He's big. He's built a little different, but his nickname is Baby Rhino. he runs guys over, and he has no fear. And when we initially brought him up, the plan wasn't to have him on varsity, but he won that spot and won it up. And he's our number two running back, but he gets a ton of carries, gets in. He's just super physical. I've never seen a kid at this age be so physical, and it's scary that he has 4 years of high school left. You know,
wow.
Yeah, it could be special. I mean, he's going to be special. So
well. You know, I think of, you know, freshmen being pulled up, and I think about Kendall Milton, right? So
right.
I think he didn't play in the first four games his freshman year at Buchanan, and then they pulled him up, and, you know, the rest is history with that kid. So, yeah, that's – oh, man, that's going to be exciting to follow him the next couple of years. All right, so with Clovis East, I heard you on Gabe Camarillo's show that you're trying to rebrand Clovis East, right? I think exactly what you said. So what does that exactly mean to you?
The rebranding was, we were just saying, it wasn't a rebuilding. The foundation was set, and the thing at Clovis East is our weight room. That's our standard. We live in there. The kids live in there. And so that was the foundation that Coach Reynolds and Coach Pancotti had set for these years.
Yeah.
And so that was that. That was the foundation. The rebranding part is everybody had this perception, you know, of double wing tee, and we were trying to change that. To throw in the ball, this is a place you want to be. We're going to, you know, you want to be a receiver and be in this program. You want to be a running back. You want to be a linebacker. And that's the rebranding. We're a lot better job on social media this year. Just a lot of little things like that. Going Nike, and it's about that. You have to sell your program these days. You got to protect your what I call borders in your district, because kids transfer all the time. And so we're just trying to get that out there. That's the rebranding of, hey, you know, 7th, 8th graders, you know, coming up, we throw the football, you know. We're a high tempo offense, and that's what kids want to play in now. They do that in 7-7. You know, everybody's doing that now and throwing the ball all year. And so that's what kids really want to do. And so I think that's what we're trying to do as a staff, is just rebrand rebranding the just what the school's about, and what the program's about.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Brandon Nagel, head coach at Clovis East. All right, so let's talk about a couple fun things. We've got a couple minutes here. So are you more of a – you follow more college football, or you follow more NFL?
I'm all college football.
You're all college
football? Yeah, I'm an Alabama fan, diehard. My whole life. And so I get a lot of crap for that from all my buddies. But I've liked them since I was a little kid, and now they're winning, and everybody says, oh, you like your bandwagon.
Right there. So when someone says Alabama, right away. So you got to answer right away, all my whole life.
Yeah.
And you got to try to show proof.
Yeah, I do. I got to show proof all the time, you know. And I was like, hey, I've been to the Iron Bowl a couple times, so they can't really say much. So, I get it all the time. My buddies, my coaches, they give me a bad time.
College football, and it's starting today. I think there's a few games today, and then next week it's going to hit hard. We're pretty excited. Fresno State starts on Thursday. Obviously, I got a keen eye on Georgia with Kendall and Kansas State with Adrian and all these guys. So, all right, how about Netflix and TV shows? Are you into that? Got any spare time? What are your go-tos?
I'm trying to think. Well, right now we got I'm a huge Game of Thrones guy, so House of Dragons, but Netflix. I'm trying to think. Peaky Blinders, all those. Me and my wife, we watch all the shows. So
yeah.
We're on everything. We got every app you can think of. Probably paid so much money, I don't even know. So
my bank account, I just get charged for all these things. I'm like, I didn't know I still subscribed to that. So yeah, that's fun stuff. Yeah, I watched like the first season of Game of Thrones, and then you know you read ahead and you're like, the last season was awful. So I'm like, do I really want to invest all these hours?
Wasn't that bad?
Yeah, stick with it.
Oh yeah,
say stick with it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Okay,
so.
I got one show for you, and I don't even know. It used to be on Amazon, but my favorite TV shows / science fiction long show is the new Battlestar Galactica. I don't know if you've gotten it. I don't know if you're a big sci-fi guy, but they rebrand. Let's talk about rebranding. They, you know, you think of the Battlestar Galactica, the old show, but then they made a new one, update and stuff. So anyway, it's got a little sci-fi kind of Blade Runner-ish, just kind of makes you think kind of stuff. So check out Battlestar Galactica. All right, little sci-fi for you here on Central Valley Sports Report. We had a great conversation with Brandon Nagel. Clovis East playing Sanger next week, then Tulare Union, and then Kerman, and then it hits that gauntlet that's called the track. Brandon, really appreciate you coming on and telling us more about your program.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. That's what I want to do. I want to get out there and spread the word about our program.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to wrap everything up here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. These 2 hours just always fly by. I bring guests on for about these 20-minute segments, and because I just want to get out as much out there as possible. I always think, man, I wish I had more time with this guy, and just had great conversations all day. So really appreciate you guys for tuning in. Again, you guys can go back to the 1430 ESPN website and download any episodes. Follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Again, big thank you to First String Sports. I'm here every Saturday from 10 to 12. Come on down here. Take a picture. We always got stickers and lanyards and fun things like that to give away. I want to thank Gabe Camarillo for coming on. Eric Lamb, big 315-pound kid from Hanford. Bull pups are hot this year. I want to thank My guy, Jorge Rodriguez, who's always with me here in the morning, helped me set up. Really appreciate him. And you can also follow on Facebook. We're streaming this stuff live, not only on the radio, but it's through Facebook. So you can watch what goes on kind of behind the scenes as well. You can check that out on Facebook. So then I want to thank Coach Brandon Nagel of Clovis East. I want to thank Lamar, Preston Scott, Central Section record, 3 punt returns for a touchdown, actually tied state record. And Coach Rich Tooman from Lamar. They're playing Clovis East next week. We're very excited about that game. That's going to be a hot game. So, again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.